Welcome to Wolf Den's Saturday Set Summer Edition. We are back on the tools for a mid-summer matinee. King Zoni, you've been at work or play over the last month?
I've been going hard. I've been working. Ooh. I've been playing. I've been spending time with the family. I've had a few big nights out as well. So I've been ticking a lot of boxes. I've been having fun. And now it's time to knuckle down and back some winners.
Very good. Fizz, been in the backyard pool a lot, I'd imagine.
Yeah, a lot of swimming, a lot of time with the family. I had a really good couple of weeks off, freshen up and ready to get my head back into the racing.
There's a good vibe around the den. Feels like everyone's pretty positive about 2025.
Yeah.
It's a big year for us all.
We started the year well as well, which always helps, tipping a few winners and more importantly, backing a few winners. So, no, I've had – December was good.
Yeah.
December was good and I've started the year on the right foot. So, been putting a lot of work into a new model, which I'll be releasing to the Wolves later. But I'm merging the two at the moment. I'm having fun tipping a few winners and, it's good.
It's been your
I'm
time.
Confident. I said it last year at the end of this and I'm very confident in 2025. I've hit the ground running. Let's go.
Love it, love it. All right, let's get into it. We're going to talk feature race, of course. We've got four to look at. But before we do that, a little bit of housekeeping. So this Saturday, we're doing a Ladbrokes Mates Mode pot again for the Magic Millions meeting. Beauty. It's up on the screen there now. You can get involved. You can hit the link in the description or you can hit that QR code. $50 buy-in. Hopefully, we'll get about 30 or 40 grand in the pool. We'll probably have some bets today. It's always a lot of fun, so get involved in that. We will be live streaming as well. Not totally sure exactly what time we're going to kick the live stream off because there's a little bit of doubt around the Magic Millions meeting.
What time about that? 4:30, 5 o'clock?
Somewhere between 4 and 5 o'clock. I think we'll do an hour of power.
Yep.
So make sure you get involved in that. And one other quick thing, it's a while off, but the Super Bowl, I think it's February the 10th, Monday of the February the 10th, we're throwing a party in conjunction with the Melbourne Racing Club. Mm. They're throwing a much bigger Super Bowl party. They're putting a lot of effort into putting together a great watch party precinct and whatnot. And they've invited us to come along and bring all of you along as well. And they've been very generous. You get to go for free and you get a couple of Budweisers.
Beautiful.
You get a bacon egg roll as well, all for nothing.
Will be an early start, wouldn't it? Like it's a
10:30 usually the Super Bowl starts.
10:30 and then you're straight into Caulfield races.
Yeah, so then there's a Metro card of racing afterwards where we have to do our best to win. I'll be going down there. A few of the other lads will be coming down with me. I think you're probably going to stay here and we need you to be on the tools here directing us what to back at Caulfield in the meeting because we need to go for free and we also need to win.
You're going to be having a crack on the party scene down there?
Yeah, why not?
Someone's got to fly the flag.
They do, which is a shame that it's me.
Fizz, are you going down?
I go on a big golf trip a few days later. So
not
I think
another
I'll
one,
skip,
surely.
I think I'll skip the Caulfield Super Bowl for the moment.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, let's move along and let's just have a quick chat about the weather at the Gold Coast. We've sort of alluded to it a bit. Let's bring this thing up there. That doesn't look real good to me.
Nah, well, they've had no luck, have they, with the poisoning of the track, the relaying of the turf and now the rain's coming. So they've had no luck at all up at the Gold Coast, but hopefully can go ahead. What do you reckon, Fizz?
I doubt. Fizz, what do you think is going
to
happen?
Yeah, I'd think they might have to move it, but they're saying this morning that they're going to go ahead with it from what I've heard. So we'll see what happens, I guess. I haven't seen the track. I don't know anything about it. So it's all dependent on the rain.
20 to 40 mils predicted on Saturday. And that's a big issue because it's the surface water.
Oh, it's a big issue.
The rain in the face.
And it's actually raining right now.
Is it? Because we've got Rain Man up there, don't we?
Rain Man's up there.
Our resident Rain Man up there. So, all right, let's move on. Let's start talking about the feature races anyway. It is always a very tough day, Magic Millions Day, but you do get some great price winners if you can happen to jag them. Mm. Let's start with the big race on the day, the two-year-old classic. King Zone, take it away. There's the market.
Yeah, wide open field, which we love, and it's a big, big, big field as well. So we'll just deal with what's put in front of us at the moment. Things are going to change. If they do run at the Gold Coast, be very aware of the track conditions, and often those wide barriers can come into play if the inside chops up and vice versa. So we'll just talk about what we know right now. So the first horse I want to talk about here is number 10, Invincible Woman, who's had one start for one win down in Caulfield. It then went up, which I really like, went up to the Gold Coast and had a trial and won a trial up there. Lizzie Joffs is in this horse as well, so good luck, Lizzie. The thing about this horse, which I don't like, is the price. I thought we'd get a better price than the $6, so I'm happy to wait. I'm going to probably have a saving bet on Invincible Woman. I read no horses won the two-year-old Magic Millions on its second start either, which Invincible Woman's trying to do. Let's go to a replay now and have a look at a couple of other horses in this race. So this is from Randwick a couple of weeks ago, I think it was.
So we pointed at Gallo Nero in the lime and the blue, fourth on the fence. And then we also just keep your eye on the red horse, Apocalyptic. We'll talk about that in a second. One other horse you wanted to point out as well, King?
Yeah, three wide memo in the yellow cap. So That's the winner there, both Memo and Gallo Nero in the Magic Millions. So that's Gallo Nero going up the fence in the blue and Memo two outside each, which this was very slow tempo, this race. But have a look at this horse coming through, which gets checked, called Apocalyptic as well. Apocalyptic, which I was on this day, flies home, runs second, is $26 in the Golden Slipper. And this was a very strong rating race. That was 1,100 metres. 1,200, obviously, the Golden Slipper. I think $26 for Apocalyptic is very, very good odds with Ladbrokes.
This is a futures bet.
This is a futures bet. Wow. This is a futures. This is an official Saturday Sets futures bet.
Love it.
I should have done Via Sestina last in the spring as well, and I didn't. But I think $26 is a great price. That horse should have won that day. But let's get back to the two-year-old race on Saturday. Firstly, Memo in that race, as I said, they went pretty slow, sat three wide, didn't really settle. The thing I like about Memo was it was $2.50 that day and had excuses. Now he's in that $9 mark. I think Memo's a chance. I probably won't back Memo. I probably will save on Invincible Woman. And the horse that I really do like there is number two, Gallo Nero. And the reason that I do like Gallo Nero, I think that they took a sit, so it's had two starts. The second start, Hawks took a sit, sat third fence. The first start, they went a lot harder in front. And the sprint there where he tacked through the gap, I think there's a lot of pace in this race and he's going to get a lovely, assuming the track's fair, he's going to get a lovely run behind them and will attack the line with absolute gusto for Tyler Schiller. My first official Saturday Set tip in 2025.
I can see how much you enjoyed that. Fantastic. I loved it. You haven't missed a beat, mate, even though haven't been in the crease for a while.
Now, I've stayed away from the Queensland horse. A lot of these horses in this race have running in Queensland, and I'm just a bit off the Queensland form. I don't think it's as strong as the New South Wales form, so I'm actually really confident in this race. Ooh, I think that the winner will come from those horses that I mentioned.
All right. Fizz, what do you got to say, mate?
I couldn't really spit too many in this race. I find it really hard with the wet track too. These young horses are never going to have seen a heavy track. So I looked into the breeding a little bit when I was looking at this, which I don't normally do. I checked wet size.
You've done your homework.
I thought I'd do a little bit of homework on it. Look, I've stuck to my top pick, which was number six, Akirian Dream. It's ticked the 1,200-metre box. It has drawn the outside. So by that stage of the day, we're going to know what's happening with the racetrack. If it is wet and if they are coming down the outside fence, that'll suit. It does get back and it has – a lot of these horses actually haven't been to 1,200 metres. That was my concern with King's horse, number two, Gallo Nero. I wasn't sure it was super strong there through the line over 1,100. Can improve though, young horses. They can step up quite easily. I did have it second pick off the ratings. Number 10, Invincible Woman, very impressive at Caulfield. But that was a good track over 1,100. Yes, it's gone for a trial up there, but it wasn't on a heavy track. I'm presuming it's going to be heavy, 1,200-metre heavy track. I'd take it on. Number 17 was my next pick, Space Rider. 1,200 metres it's been to, and wet looks okay for it. So, okay. Yeah, very, very hard. I don't know what the track's going to do, so we'll see what happens.
Well, let's go to a much easier race. The three-year-olds. Three-year-old Guineas, Magic Millions.
Yes, we actually like a couple of your Kings and Ice.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I don't mind this race either. I'm just going to talk about overlays here.
Okay.
Number two, Give Me Space, which I can see is drawn out in barrier 21, which may be an advantage if the track's very wet, which Give Me Space loves as well. Just keeps on improving. It's 1-3 from six. The other horse I want to talk about is number 14, Bohemia. Winner of the Magic Millions up at Wong and beat the smashed the track record up there. Goes to 1,400 for the first time, which I think will suit. Out in barrier 20 as well, which I don't think is going to be a disadvantage. The other horse that I want to talk about, and it's drawn out wide too, is number 23, Tuileries, which you asked me about earlier on in the week as well, whether I liked it. And I think it's good. Is it $8.50 now? I thought it was a bigger price than that. Was it $18 yesterday?
No, it never was.
Okay. Yeah. I'm getting confused, but it's come up a real good chance on mine as well. Won her last two in Sydney and looks like she's going to keep improving as well. So I noticed all those three horses are drawn out wide, which I don't mind as well. Play your exotics if they're coming down the middle and bet with confidence.
Biz.
Very good. We found the same too. I like number 14, Bohemia. Nice tick over trial at Rose Hill. and we'll see what the track pattern is by that stage, but the outside barrier could be an advantage. So pretty happy to be on it. There was a hot speed when it won at Wyong, and it came over the top of them. So we're hoping for a bit of speed here. And number two, Give Me Space. You can't miss its run last start. It was massive. The sire looks like it loves the wet. So if it's wet, I think it'll handle the wet. And I think it's about, there's a couple of joints betting $14 maybe. So that's pretty big overs. The other ones, obviously there's horses that are coming with a bit stronger form, like number one, Bitter Creek, number seven, Basusto, and Kings has won number 18, Tuileries. I think they're all good hopes as well. Tough race. We'll see what happens on the day, but I'd be on 2 and 14.
I will say I would wait on those prices. I think there's a fair bit of percentage in that market, and you do want to see which way the track's going. I don't think there's any great overs there. They are overlays off mine, but they're all very small overlays, and I think we will get better than the odds, current odds.
Very good. We're going to move to Flemington, the Standish Handicap, a Group 3 sprinting race. I think Skaripa won this race last year.
Mm.
So a lot of these horses have aspirations to go deep into the autumn. Obviously, none of these are the top-line sprinters, but a couple of interesting ones there. Wonderboy. Wonderboy's got some strong form around Growing Empire.
Did you say you didn't think Iona Merck was going?
Yes, I read a story before saying that Bjorn Baker says he probably leans towards staying up in Sydney.
Up in Sydney, yeah. Dual acceptor, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. It's flying Iona Merck. It's won its last two, and what it's in career best.
Bjorn Baker's just completely flying
going
as
good.
Well.
Airborne. Yeah. Yeah. Stay tuned for the official Saturday set tips.
Right.
The two I was interested in looking at here was Wonder Boy. First up, as you mentioned, only had four starts, so there's plenty of upside there. Has had three jump outs as well, so should be ready to go over the 1,200. Jerome Hunter, I read, says the horse has come back a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, I was thinking maybe a 1,400-metre horse, because it does sort of tend to race off the pace and then and come home. But he's thinking the way the horse is looking, that it's a sprinter, Wonder Boy. So I reckon it'll be prime for this. I thought $6 was a reasonable price. Barrier one there. So once again, just keep an eye on the way the track's playing. Though I've had a bet in this race early. I took $18 and $17 Deepaw.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Ryan's had this horse for three starts and ran a much improved race at Ballarat. So it's got very good old ratings prior to Nick Ryan having the horse. And I liked its last run. It seems like it's starting to hit a bit of peak form. I just thought $18 was overs. I'm not saying it's, you know, a great bet or anything. I just thought 18 was overs. So those are the two I was interested in. The rest I thought were a little bit short in the market.
Okay. Fizz.
Found the old boy, Joyful Fortune. It's gone to the hay stable, I've seen. It's had a couple of nice jump outs. About $11 or $12. If I had to have a play, Joyful Fortune would be it. Been down the straight twice for two wins, but it was 1,000 metres, so this is 1,200. Perel just likes running places, so I'm not hugely a big fan of horses that run places all the time like that. Always seems to find one better, but I did have it second pick. Wonderboy was an interesting one. I didn't love it. Looked unders to me. Kings has found it, so it worries me a little bit. I didn't think the last jump out was anything flash myself. Really pushed out to the line. I don't love that, but anyway, that's it. Iona Merck, well, it's flying, but it won't race. You reckon?
Deepaw, so any hope?
Didn't look at Deepaw. Obviously, its last three starts, or actually probably previous to that, even before the spell, probably didn't run to its best. So
no.
I didn't check out the second that it ran. I haven't done a huge amount of work on this race. So I thought Joyful Fortune was...
You don't like the straight race as much?
Not my favourite thing, but $11, I prefer to be on that than a favourite.
Fair enough. Yeah, favourite does seem short, I agree.
All right, we're going to move to Wyong, where they have their first standalone meeting on a Saturday. We've got the Lakes, a $500,000 mile race. Robusto won the Ingham. Some nice horses there, Kingzone. What do we make of it?
Well, Robusto's been a big go. They put up $6 and it's been backed into $3.80. It was a great run up at Eagle Farm last start, but seems too short to me, carrying 59 kilos again and giving these other horses a lot of weight. I think that the 380 is complete rock bottom odds now. I don't really particularly like this race. I think what I will say is I think the firmer in the race is number 12, Red Breast, who is a complete speedster, went up too hard in front last start, but has drawn barrier two, has got Zach Lloyd and obviously Gay and Adrian Polish, 54 kilos. I think Red Breast is the firm. I think Ossipenko's got a very good chance as well. $6 seemed too short to me. Don't really like the race. It's a non-betting race for me.
Fizz?
Terrible, terrible race. Like, just impossible to work out. Look, Nothing out of all the horses. They all rate within a couple of points of each other. Juno Power going all right in Brisbane, comes back to Sydney, didn't love its last run. Then you got Robusto, which missed the price, probably should be favourite, but 380 probably is a bit skinny. Sat outside the lead in Queensland last start and couldn't get the job done over 1,400, back up to 1,600. Ozipenko back like it was a moral last start, over 2,000, couldn't get the job done, back to 1,600 metres. I don't know what to make of it. And I had Spangler next pick and I didn't really like it either. So Redbreast didn't even feature in my rating. So I guess if I looked at something, I'd probably lay the 12.
Fair enough. All right. Let's move on to your official Saturday set, please.
Yeah, so in total I've got three official Saturday set tips. The first one was in the Gold Coast two-year-old Magic Millions. Number two, Gallo Nero. And then we go to the other two are at Wyong and they're both trained by the man in form, Bjorn Baker. Mm. Wyong race five, number six, Bonita Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Bonita Queen is first up, has had two trials. Won the last one pretty impressively, crosses from nine on speed and by far has the most upside in the race. It was around the 240 mark at the moment. I thought that was pretty reasonable. Thought more of an even money chance and looks hard to beat. The other horse is an interesting one. Wyong race nine, number five, Sandpaper. I'd wait on this price. It's around the $5.50 mark at the moment. First run for Bjorn. Came from over from James Cummings. Loved the trial. Which he won at Warwick Farm last week, and I can smell a rat coming out of the Baker camp. I've got you. Sandpaper is the one.
Ooh.
And Bonita Queen. Take the multi. Back them both straight out.
Be a tasty multi.
And if one of them comes up, then you'll be winning.
Yeah,
so there's three. All right. Three tips for us for Saturday to start off 2025 from me.
Thank you, sir. Fizz, your official Saturday set.
Yeah, hard day, as I say quite a lot, but I'm going to Ascot for three of them. So Ascot race three, number three. This horse is a first starter. It's called Country God. The prices aren't up yet, so we'll see what they put up. But it's had a couple of 400-metre trials, which is interesting. But I think it's an out-and-out speedster and it'll be very hard to
any
catch.
Any price, a good price?
WA tab went up $2.90 and I having to take you a little bit, it, but we'll see what happens. I don't know what the others will go up, so we'll see what happens. Then we'll go to race four in Ascot, number five, a horse called Supernatural. This horse, it was a little bit shy of its right distance, I reckon, last start at 1,000 metres. It goes up to 1,200. Right jockey, Clint Johnson Porter's on, I think, and I think it'll be stepping over the top of them late. And then going to Ascot race five, number two, Sure Know Something. This horse... it's just beaten last start in a Geraldton race, I think, and they've gone up at around 350 or something like that, so I'm happy to be on it this weekend. And then I've got two bets in Murray Bridge race. Four, number one, Sabona, backing up after 7 days last week. Probably should have won, missed a kick by three lengths and lost by about half a length. And then race eight, number seven, a horse called Runaway Statement, going for this, its second win on the trot, and I think it'll do it this weekend, so they're my bets this weekend.
Very good, and you'll be having a bit of a look today to see if we can have any
early bets for the comp.
Yeah, for the pot.
Hopefully there's some overs out there and we can
we'll see what we
maybe
can do.
One or two of these ones we can get on.
This episode is brought to you by our good mates at Ladbrokes. Ladbrokes have you covered with all the best racing features so you can own spring racing. You can support the show by joining Ladbrokes today and using the code GALLOP. If you want the ultimate social betting experience, be sure to check out Ladbrokes Mates Mode, where you can chat, share, and bet with your mates. We've even started our own Wolfden Mates Mode group, and you can join the action by using the join code WOLFDEN24. So check out Mates Mode and download the Ladbrokes app this spring carnival.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.
Very good. Hey, let's talk about the summer of cricket. So it was a great summer of cricket.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it. I'm a bit of a cricket skeptic because they play too much, I think. But it was brilliant. So I got a question for you, right? So Constance, Kid Constance, is a bit of a polarizing figure in the sense that everyone has their differing opinions on what's the best way forward for him. I think pretty much everybody agrees that he seems like a strong talent.
Mm.
So my question to you is, if you were Pat Cummins and you were sitting down having a quiet chat with him after the Indian series is over and you're presuming we're taking him to Sri Lanka, what would you say to him as you want his approach to be both on the field in terms of, you know, the antics of dealing with the other team and whatnot, but most importantly, how he should bat?
I think players like that, and there was the same when Dave Warner came in and started playing test cricket. I think that the younger players are taught a more aggressive style of cricket. What would I do if I was coach? I'd be instilling him with confidence, and I'd just say, go and play your natural game. I thought it was brilliant the way he played at the MCG. He came out playing his first test. He played and missed the first over quite a bit, and then he said, I got to do something here. Boomer's on top of us, and we saw what he did with his scoop shots and really put the pressure back on India. That changed the momentum of the test match and put India back on the back foot. But he's a confidence player. I don't think you want to say to him, oh, you got to go out and play a bit more defensively and try and change the way he is. He's 19 years old. He's got picked from Australia doing what he does. Just keep doing it, son.
Fair enough. Fizz, what do you think, mate?
Yeah, he's got a lot of ability. Obviously, the last shot I think he got out to in the second innings wasn't the best shot, and I'm sure he would like to take that one back. But I think you don't really know the instructions he had coming into those test matches. They know that Bumrah, he averaged 12 or 13 for this test series against Australia and was just getting everyone out. And I think we needed something. Instead of another batsman coming in, playing and missing for 30 balls and getting two off 30 and then getting out, they needed something different, and he did that and maybe got a little bit carried away in the second innings. But if you watch his Shield 100, he got it off 205 balls or 250 balls or something. So it's not like he goes out and he slogs every game. I think he might have been under instruction to go out there and do what he did, which is another thing that we're not privy to. Maybe the coaching staff are privy to. I don't know. But you got to remember that he pretty much took the game away from them, and that's a pretty big thing. And he was doing it against a guy who's way far superior at the present time and any other bowler in the world, I think, in Bumrah. He was moving balls both ways, like half a foot. It's impossible to face.
We hadn't been hit for six for 4 years, and he hit him for two sixes. The other thing that I liked as well was his attitude when Kohli came up and put the shoulder into him.
Yeah.
It didn't faze him.
No, he didn't faze him.
And then Channel 7 interviewed him and asked him about it, and he didn't put any shit on Kohli. Mm. He just said, whatever stays on the field stays on the field. Yeah. And this is his idol. Kohli's his idol growing up, and he's put a shoulder into him when he's you know, getting up to his half century to try and unnerve him. It's pretty impressive for a 19-year-old, I reckon. Mm.
He said the only thing he said he regrets a little bit was when he went at Bumrah, you know, right at the end of, was it day two?
Mm. Yeah.
He said, in hindsight, I saw an article in the paper, I think it was the Australian, he said that in hindsight he probably wouldn't do that again.
Mm. He turned to Bumrah, you're talking about when he was at the
top. Well, it was obviously like Khawaja was trying to slow everything down, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that Constance's interaction with Bumrah rattled Khawaja a little bit and led to him sneaking that last ball and getting out? Do you think?
Well, Khawaja's 39 years old, so if it did, that's on
call. I don't think he's 39, but he's pretty close to that.
I think he is 39.
I think he's 37.
Yeah. Well, I'm nearly 50, so. maybe, but that's on Khawaja. Like, just, you know, you can't blame Constance for that.
Do you think it rattled him, Fizz? Rattled Khawaja?
I don't think so. It might have just focused Bumrah for that last ball a little bit more than what he'd been focused, if anything else. But it was a pretty weak shot from Khawaja to get out. He jumped in the air and nicked it, and it was that high. So it was like, I don't know. It's just like, you know, he got out like a lot of people have been getting out. Like, the guy was bowling very well.
Shaffers, yeah.
As soon as he did that, what he did in that first innings against Bumrah, India were rattled and we won the next two tests.
Correct. What about our mate Smudge Smith getting out on 9,999 runs?
Oh, did he? I didn't even know that.
You didn't realise that?
No, I don't know where I was. I didn't even know that.
So he needed another run to get 10,000. AB was in the commentary box, and someone mocked him badly. I can't remember who exactly it was.
Midi.
Maybe like Rafi Shastri or someone like that. It was like, this is going to be brilliant, you know, when he gets his 10,000 runs.
Thanks,
AB jumped in straight and said, mate, settle down. Like, he's just, please don't mock him.
Yeah.
Next ball, he just gets that absolute jaffa just like that. He was so shattered.
AB would have been filthy on Ravi too.
Yeah.
Captain Grumpy would have gone off.
I can't remember who it was. It was him or someone like that.
They go to Sri Lanka now.
They do.
So I'll be putting McSweeney back in and giving Usman a bit of a rest if I was a selector.
No, they're going to, because there's a couple of injuries, I think. So Hazelwood's not going. I saw the selections this morning.
Yeah, a few of the bowlers are being rested. Yeah. The fast bowlers, I think. Cummins. I don't think Cummins is going.
Who's the guy that plays spin? He was in the Aussie side for a while. He goes good against the spinners. He'll come into the middle order.
Anyway. Dude was super impressive, Bo Webster.
Very.
Yeah, what a ready-made test player. He was just brilliant.
Yeah, well, we're missing Cameron Green, so it'll be interesting when he comes back what they do, because Mitch Marsh, if he gets fully fit again as well and starts bowling, then we're blessed with three great all-rounders there.
All right, we're going to move on. We'll talk about a new feature on the app just quickly. The sharpshooter feature is a fun one. There it is up on the screen. So what is a sharpshooter? Well, a sharpshooter is a Woofden punter who is profitable at any given sport, and they have to have posted at least 25 tips on the sport. Mm. I think everyone who works in the den except for me is a sharpshooter.
Oh, really? Well, that's, yeah.
Even Mitty Harris on the editing.
You don't put a lot of tips up, though. You should put your NFL tips up because you're a good judge on the NFL. But, yeah, I'm a dual sharpshooter, which I'm very proud of. Just got my racing badge not long ago. And, of course, the NRL one was straight away. And now you're a sharpshooter, Fitz, aren't you?
I don't know.
Don't be modest.
Anyway, so why you might be wondering why are we telling you all this? Well, it's on the app, and you'll see that when if a particular user is a sharpshooter, they have the little icon next to their name when they put a tip up, and you can also isolate the feed, so it's just sharpshooter tips. Of course, that might be a magic bullet, but it'll certainly help you go a long way. So every single time you're copying the bet, you're copying the bet of a winning punter, and if you can combine that with your own work, you're probably going to go a long way to make money.
Yeah, and there are some very, very, very good judges on the den. Johnny Schmoe, for example, he's always up there in the Punter of the Year competition.
Yeah, great.
I don't know how many badges he's got, but he's a freak.
Yeah, there's and then old Roughhounds last night, you see, tipped a 60s and a 90s winner. It's pretty good in one day to be tipping a 60s winner and a 90s winner.
Wow. Like,
there's guys out there, like, that's hard to do.
But what Woofden is all
especially
about.
Especially Greyhounds.
And all it's been about from the start is creating, like, a virtual betting ring. And, like, because I got the track at 18 and so many times I'd walk off the track with a monkey in my pocket or whatnot from following other people's tips and learning and whatnot. And that's what Woofden's always been about. And it's the next best thing to being on course because we can't do that anymore because those times gone. But, yeah, and I should also say I've been working very hard November, December and into January now, really sort of redesigning and I guess refunctioning, retooling the app and the website. Mm. February 1st the date that the devs are working towards. We're going to release the new updated app and the new updated website, and I think they'll both be the most magnificent tools for punting in 2025. So I'm excited about that.
No doubt.
Yeah.
It's good. We've got so much data on the punters, like for the sharpshooter now as well. We've got a year's worth of data. So it's great because now we've got accountability and we can see who's won, see who hasn't, see who's good at basketball. And we're like a bookie profiling the punters.
We are. There's a couple of changes that I said. The A-team, we've decided just to push that to the side. It was good fun last year, just trying to change the show up a bit. Thought it got a little bit repetitive, a bit monotonous. In terms of accountability, we're not going to talk about it every show, but we will certainly put it in the description each show, let you know how the boys are going. And then we might check in with it once a month or something like that and just, you know, see how it goes. But we just thought it was a bit monotonous and a bit starting a bit boring. And before we close off, content, we've made a little bit of content over the break. The first one was a piece called This Last Year. I put together a highlights package of last year. It's quite incredible. How much content we made. We should talk about it. Incredibly sad. On the right, my right there, Sam Kavanagh, your favourite interview of last year. We lost Sam.
Was, yeah, very, very, very sad. And no, it was. He was very raw in that interview. If you haven't seen it, go and check it out. No, it was my favourite. Mm. I'm going to re-watch it actually.
Yeah, so the biggest section of this last year is about Sam. It actually was really sad. When I was putting it together, he was still alive and I heard he wasn't good. Mm. And then I was just about to hit publish. And I saw the news on Twitter that he passed. Mm. So, as you'd expect, a little bit of a dedication towards him at the end. Mm. So it's a good piece of content. Go and watch that if you want. Punters education videos, they've been very popular so far. We've put up Dan O'Sullivan, we've put up Mark Reed, and we've also put up Dr. Turf.
Yep.
All been received well. We've still got you in the can.
Yep.
We've got BZ in the can.
Okay.
So go and watch them. I'm going to put the link to both of these pieces of content in the description. It's a big year coming up, so you won't see us again until CF or Stakes, meaning the Thursday before CF or Stakes. I want to say that that's going to be February the 6th, Thursday, February the 6th. So we'll have another month where we just cool our jets. You guys just keep working hard at your stuff. We'll keep working hard at our stuff. And then we'll come back and it'll be full-blooded assault.
Yeah, can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we just get through January and then we attack in February. We build a bank and then we explode in March and April.
Fantastic. Fizzer, thank you, mate.
Well, yeah, you're welcome. Happy to be back.
We'll see you all on Saturday for our live stream. Go jump in the Ladbrokes Mates Mo Pot up the den. Let's get it.